of your building located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. My next guest, he is Matt Nelson. He is at MNelson_ISU. He is ISU. How are you, buddy?
I am great, Dean. It's hard not to be on a beautiful Friday like we got here. We've got Cyclone football on tap. It's just a beautiful day.
It is. It's gorgeous. How's the family? That's the most important thing.
Family is swell, Dean. They are actually out doing a little trick-or-treating at an event at the church, and I am trying to get prepared for yet another football weekend, which starts by talking about the Cyclones with you.
It does, and I appreciate that, buddy. Okay. I've had this conversation so many times with so many different people in talking about how, you know, what expectations or were expectations met or all of that. And I think we got ahead of ourselves a little bit on Hunter Deckers, a little bit on the entirety of the football team. And I took it back and I wanted to see where you're at. I took it back because what we forget is last year, even though they didn't perform like they were supposed to or what we thought they were supposed to, we had to replace a ton. And the biggest thing that I think that we had to replace, and Breece Hall, I mean, that's big, but I think the biggest thing that we had to replace was that one or two guys that no matter what happened, if it was 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, they got open and you got them the ball. And I'm talking about Charlie Kolar and Chase Allen, and you had that familiarity and you had all that. And I still think that we struggle on those plays. I think first down passing, I think we're good. Second down passing, I think we're good. On third down passing, if they take away that dude, we don't have that other dude, or we don't have someone that can just work themselves open as quickly as we'd like them to. Do you have, because I don't think Matt Campbell's coaching any differently. I don't think the teams are better in the Big 12. I think there's a lot of parity in the Big 12. What is your thought process on, and plus the fact we've lost 4 games and 14 points?
Everyone says 4 and 14, Steve, but you want to make it a little more painful. How's 3 games by 7 points?
Yes, that's even worse.
Because, yeah, right, that certainly doesn't feel good. I think a couple things. So you're right. There's, I think if you had, maybe expectations were too high last year.
Yes.
Winning 7 games last season, Dean, I think there isn't a program in the, outside of maybe Oklahoma State or, Texas and maybe Oklahoma who wouldn't be thrilled with winning 7 games in this league this year, because it's an incredible TV experience to watch pretty much any Big 12 game any given weekend. So, first, there's that to consider. But I think you're right. Obviously, the defense is still performing at the same elite level, maybe even better than last year.
They got
torched in, the Texas Tech game, the West Virginia game. And they're doing that with a ton of young players, right? There's a few key players who didn't come back on that defense. But in general, complete new faces at linebacker for the most part, some new guys in the defensive line. And basically, you're doing it with rookie corners. So you're absolutely right. And I think – what you're getting at kind of brings me to a larger point that I know I've seen some frustrations from Cyclone fans, and I get it. This offense has not been fun to watch. We've been losing close games. We're not good on special teams all the time. But the way that I see it seen is Matt's coaching the same way. We're playing the same way. And as you mentioned, losing Kohler and those guys on, second and third down to get you big catches, we're just not executing the way that we normally do. And a lot of that is due to youth and also losing some of those players that you mentioned. And that takes time. It's hard for a young team to be good at that right away. And young teams usually lose some close games that sort of look like the way we've lost games. So I think your analysis of the situation is really pretty spot on, Steve.
And we're talking to Matt Nelson. He's at MNelson_13 on Twitter. I guess this is my other one too. And I've been pretty critical of the other side of the state this week too. Not the student athletes. To me, in this radio show, student athletes, unless you're bragging them up, are off limits. But I've had issues with coaches and answering tough questions and doing all that. And if I'm going to do it at the Iowa side of it, I have to do it at the Iowa State side of it too. Coach Campbell was asked about the special teams, and I'm sorry, I like Coach Matt Campbell. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. He's a great fit for Iowa State. He's lying to us to say that there's nothing wrong with special teams and not having a special teams coach.
Sure feels that way, doesn't it, Steve?
Yes.
To say that the special teams have been, I don't know, what you want to call it, excellent or playing well, is just not true. And I think if you look at some of the metrics, that certainly is borne out. I think some of that, Steve, is who primarily plays on special teams. Pick your – whether it's in the NFL or it's at the college level, right? It's usually younger players.
Yep.
And younger players are going to make mistakes. It is part of it. Now, I think, losing – you've also had a lot of losses, right? You've actually had pretty good kickers under Matt Campbell's tenure, and now you don't. And that situation has not settled itself out. They've obviously had issues with punt protection, which that is a coaching thing, right? That's a scheme and a strategy thing, which should be fixable. So to say that that's not fixed or that that's fine is certainly not true. And I quite frankly think I know while fans are frustrated with the offense, they're probably the most frustrated with that because that seems pretty easily correctable.
With what is left this year, and depending a lot on tomorrow, In your heart, and then using your really smart brain, do we have enough to get to 6 wins to get to a bowl game?
It's going to be tough. I think they do, but you're going to have to get a little luck. And it's funny, Steve, last year Iowa State lost a lot of close games, and normally that luck flips, right? I think I was experiencing that with turnovers. Last year everyone praised their defenses. Oh, my gosh, they're so stout and they force so many turnovers. Well, what do we generally think about turnovers, Steve? Usually requires some luck. And a lot of times that luck swings year to year. So far, Iowa State has been unlucky in that they have not gotten some of the breaks that teams usually get after they have an unlucky season like they went through last year in that regard. So that's been kind of odd, and it may take luck swinging, but if to focus on something more concrete, it's probably going to take being able to run the ball. And I know that, gosh, that sounds cliche. That sounds like what every football fan since the dawn of time has said to me. So not necessarily maybe groundbreaking analysis for me here, but I went back and looked at some drive charts from the last few games. So, Steve, this is analysis that you're getting here, which is probably more than I usually give on the show. But there were quite a few times, at least 8 in this losing streak, where Iowa State's gone 3 and out, and that first play has been a rush for 2 yards or less, followed usually by 2 incompletions. So obviously you are well behind the sticks when you start out that way. So can you turn that 2 yards into 4 yards? If you can, maybe that gives you the confidence to try another running play on second down. Even if you only get 2 yards, now you're at 3rd and 4, and that's manageable. The other times they've thrown on first down, they've actually got several. I saw this several times as well, Steve. They have ended up with like a 2nd and 4, and then, of course, along has come a false start or something of that nature, right? So it has not just been, the offensive line is not blocking or the running backs aren't hitting holes. There have been some more systematic failures across the board. That's something that we didn't see against Texas, though, Steve. And that, I think, is really encouraging. Now, could they still run the ball terrifically? No. But that Texas defensive line is very good and has been for some time. So I think if there was ever a game to do it, it would be against Oklahoma because they are – I know our offense has not been good, Steve, but they might be the worst unit in the Big 12, that defense for Oklahoma.
And they have a defensive head coach. That's the funny part of it. A well-respected.
Absolutely.
Which is unbelievable. This was the other one, and I want to jump because I want to talk men's and women's basketball with you as well. There are times, and I've said this about the Hawkeyes this week, and I'm going to say it about the Cyclones too. And I understand that college football is changing, but I still wish at some point in time that at least 20 to 25% of your snaps every other game, could we go under center and make them guess if we're going to run or pass? I mean, I understand that somebody said, well, they just need to go under center so that it just makes running easier. Well, then people are going to know. So you have to be able to pass out of that too. I don't know in these two schools that have kind of old school coaches, they spend all their time and you know, not being under center, and it just, I think it messes up running lanes. I think it messes up just a lot of stuff, and I don't know how you get him to change.
I agree, Steen, and that's probably, quite frankly, that's a change that I don't think you would ever see in season. That's something you would probably have to address in the offseason. But look, we haven't seen it to date. I do think what you're going to see from Iowa State is more of what you saw in the Texas game. And I noticed it, Steen. I was at that game in Austin. I saw it on the first play from scrimmage for Iowa State, which was a pass. And what did Hunter Deckers do? He rolled out.
Yep.
Designed rollout to the right. I think you will start to see more and more of that. Where was that early in the season, you might be asking? A great question. Some of that, again, could be going back to youth, having a young, inexperienced quarterback and trying to make things simple for him. Because as Iowa fans have seen with Spencer Petras, sometimes rolling a quarterback out of the pocket to make the play easier is actually counterintuitive.
Exactly. And rolling Spencer out and rolling Hunter out are two different things. Because Hunter, I don't know if he was told not to run, and they've kind of changed that throughout the progressions, because he did run more. They even had some plan runs, which I really like too. Even if they don't work, I still think that later in the game that gets you somebody open down in the middle of the field for a big play, because they now have to look out for you running. I like that part. So I'm just curious to see what they can do with Oklahoma, because the thing that I keep telling people is this defense, their ability to every other Big 12 game that's out there, except for if you're playing Iowa State, the scores are in the 40s. And that just doesn't happen with Iowa State.
No, I was talking to a friend today, and I said, look, you know, we may give up, some points. It may even be as much as 30, but that's going to be it. Like, teams are not going to get to 35 on. So, taking that in context of this weekend's game against Oklahoma, who just, you know, they beat Kansas, but they gave up 40 plus to them. If the defense can you know, maybe give up, you know, maybe you give up 28 points to Oklahoma, but against that defensive unit, can you get to 30? I think that's going to be the question for the offense this weekend.
And you get them at home. It's a big game. Going to have a great crowd. It's 11 o'clock. All that's going to work. Once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He's at @MNelson_ISU. On Twitter. All right, let's talk a little bit. We're getting close. What are we, less than 2 weeks away from?
We can smell it.
Yes, before. And let's take the women first, because the expectations for the Iowa State women are extremely high, ranked as high as number 7 in the country. I do not think they have a hole in the lineup, and I think they got better at center. And with the kind of going to have like a 2-3 headed monster that they didn't have, with a little bit more athleticism on top of it. Expectations for Iowa State in your mind is for the women?
It's I can give you something accurate. I mean, they should be off the chart, right? Like the expectation should be, it's hard to ever assume this team, because basketball is a crazy sport and they've got a round robin tournament that determines who ultimately makes it to the finals. But I mean, a Final Four's got to be in the cards. If you're just looking at what is the ceiling for this team, that seems to be what it is. If you were Sweet 16 last year, you basically returned the entire unit. Hopefully, people a little bit healthier, and you managed to bring in, you know, 6'6" player at center for the first time ever, who is an elite scorer as well. I mean, that's what the expectation. I'm not saying that's what it should be, but I think if you feel that way, that's realistic.
I think it is too. I think that game in Iowa City is going to be amazing. The state should be happy. They should be ecstatic at what they have, even at all four, because the UNI women and the Drake women are both going to be good as well, and it's really good. Last year with the Iowa State men, we didn't know what we had. I was up there for that first game, and you know, it almost made your eyes cry, because it just wasn't what you were. If you're an Iowa State fan for the last 20 years, it's not what you expect on a basketball floor. And we all learned to love them and how they played and how they play for TJ. One of the things I say about TJ, when his wife went into the Hall of Fame and he's standing there and tears coming down his and all of that, I'm like, this is a gentleman that wants to be here for the rest of his life. And he's going to live and breathe with this Iowa State team. I think this Iowa State team has talent. You don't have a Brockington yet. You might, but you don't know. And you don't have Tyrese Hunter, but I don't know. You know, you have bad Tyrese Hunter and you have good Tyrese Hunter. Do you have someone that's in the middle? I happen to be a huge Taman Lipsey fan, and I think he's going to be outstanding. I don't know if it'll be early, but I think he's going to be an outstanding basketball player for this basketball team. Just what little we know, because there is a lot of moving parts. What are you thinking for the Iowa State men?
Expectations set at, you know, 18 to 21 wins. I feel like it's hard to know ultimately. Like, we were surprised last year, but would you be surprised to see them win about as many games as they did last year? I personally wouldn't.
Nope, me neither.
I think, again, can you win – can you do well in your non-conference, and can you win six or seven conference games?
Yep.
I think at that point, that's got to be the threshold here, because it's hard to go 500 in conference play in this league.
A lot of talent.
Very good.
So much talent.
Yes, a lot of talent. And you've got so many new faces. But I think that's possible. And this is also going to be just such a weird look for, you know, basically Iowa State in my lifetime. Because even going back to, you know, Craig Brackens, you had one big man on the floor.
Yep.
And he was more of a power forward. You've got really three true centers this year that I think have some offense. I think that TJ has admitted they're going to initiate some more offense through the post. That's the rumor of what they were working on in that scrimmage against Creighton. So you're going to see a different look. There's going to be more shot blocking. I'm guessing rebounding is going to be a huge focus. I think those are things that Coach Osberger has talked about. So it'll be a really fun team to follow, and I think we're all going to love watching the squad play.
I do, too. And next season, athleticism coming in bunches. So that's something to look forward to as well. Matty, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for coming in. We didn't even get to talk about the stuff we normally do. We'll have to do that next week. Thanks a lot, bub.
Stop for the plan. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Matty Nelson. Love Matty Nelson. Steen on Sports. B Styles. Next.
Here's a look at traffic. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're coming in here, 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Want to thank Matty Nelson for jumping on there and giving us a little Iowa State Cyclone talk. We're going to jump on now. We got a lot of things to talk about. My next guest is Brendan Stiles, and he is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022-2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting, finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking, keeping both the staff and candidates very busy. Along with when we had Amy on yesterday, they have an IT team, managed services, outplacement services, a lot of things going on. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. My next guest is Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. I got a question here that I was thinking about today. I'd like to get your thoughts on with the World Series starting tonight.
All in. Okay.
Assuming the Houston Astros win, which I think you and I both probably think will happen, and I'm sure most of the country thinks will happen. If you're Dusty Baker, do you go out on top? Do you decide to hang it up if you win this World Series?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I'm interested in this because I know their bench coach is a candidate for the White Sox managerial position. Yeah, I believe he's also a candidate for the Marlins too, but it makes you wonder, like, if you're Houston, knowing that you have a shot at, I don't want to say redeeming yourself, obviously, for what happened in 2017, but you have a chance to win. If you're Dusty, because you've been, for somebody like him, he's been around the game for so long, and I think the one positive that would come away from the Astros winning the World Series would be, hey, everybody can celebrate him. And it maybe presents that opportunity for him to go out on top when you consider how close he was in San Francisco and how close he got with the Cubs his first year there. And even in Cincinnati, he made them a respectable team. And now in Washington as well. Now he's got this chance in Houston. He's back there for the second year in a row, and he didn't get it last time. But this time they're in a position where they could very well win it.
I think if he has that kind of faith in the bench coach, then I think he would, because, you know, I think he gets that World Series. I think one World Series solidifies him as a Hall of Fame manager. So,
right.
You know, I think that's part of it. And I think for the Houston Astros, I don't think they want to lose their coach either. And I think they'll go to him and say, Dusty, listen, come up here, be the head of baseball operations, be around, just make sure that we don't lose what you've brought to our team in getting us back to where we want to be, and be a part of our team for as long as you want. But you know as well as we do, we need to keep this guy, and the guys like him, and he's going to perform really well. And I think that's going to work out for everybody. And I think it's going to put Houston in a better place than what they've been.
Right. And I think it's one of those things too, where if the Phillies somehow win this World Series, I don't know if that happens or not, but I think if the Astros do win, that opportunity definitely presents itself.
San Francisco is a better team. They have better pitching. Man, Philadelphia has that. If a couple of Bryce Harper stays hot, a couple of those guys stay hot, Philadelphia can win this. I don't think they can win. I don't think they can win four games. That would be.
Well, and here's the other thing I was thinking about too with this from the Phillies' perspective is with Bryce Harper. You think about like the guys that were like the prodigies in high school, and like you heard about them when they were teenagers, like him, like a LeBron James, like a Sidney Crosby before the Penguins drafted him. I think about those other two guys, you could argue that they lived up to the hype. With, you know, LeBron, obviously it took him a while, but he got to four championships. Sidney Crosby's won three Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. This is a chance for Bryce Harper to put himself in that position. I know it'd only be his first, but if Philadelphia wins this, I mean, he becomes a folk hero in that city forever. And you could argue, okay, yeah, everything that was said about him when he was 17, 18 years old, it all panned out.
I love the way he plays baseball too. I really do. I know people sometimes it turns people off. I love it. And he has the mantra to back it up too. And you know, it's one thing to just do it, but he has both. I've been dying to ask you this question.
Sure.
Did you lose a little bit of respect for Coach Kirk Ferentz with the way he handled the questioning from the reporter, and then how he stated stuff about the reporter the next day?
It wasn't his best moment. I'll say that. I wouldn't say that I lost respect for him necessarily. And I'm basing that off of the fact that I covered the team for 7 years as well. And I sat in on those press conferences for 7 years every Tuesday, but yeah, that was not a wise move on his part. And I mentioned LeBron just a minute ago. It actually kind of reminded me of when the Miami Heat lost to Dallas, and he had that comment about, well, you know, at the end of the day, all the people that are hating on me are still going to, you know, go back to whatever jobs they're doing, and I'm still going to be me or whatever. That's kind of what that reminded me of.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure it's something that if he could take it back at this point, he would. But, you know, what's done is done. And I think that the simplest thing that could happen now for Iowa, and it's one of those games that they should win regardless. But if you beat Northwestern, it's not going to, you know, clear the entire stench away, but it's a start. And it's a chance to maybe trend in the right direction going into November.
Any way of clearing that stench and still start Petras because I don't think they're going to start Padilla unless you do.
I don't think they're going to start Padilla either.
Yeah. And somebody asked me yesterday, and I said, you know, if they started Padilla, that would be a sign that the Ferentzes are losing the locker room, because I think that may be what the players want, but I don't think that's what the coaching staff wants.
I think that actually the dead giveaway that Petras is going to probably be your starter tomorrow is the fact that Padilla did go in the game last week against Ohio State. It wasn't in a situation where he could potentially take the job from him. So, yeah, I do think Spencer's going to start. As far as what impact that's going to have, look, we all know what their struggles are, and I don't necessarily see those going away, but if there was ever a chance for them to have a get-right game, if you will, this is it, because Northwestern's not really good on either side of the ball. And I know you could at least trust the defense to do their part tomorrow, as far as maybe holding Northwestern like under 10 points. So it's a really low bar, I guess is what I'm getting at. And if you could just clear that, like I said, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It doesn't necessarily mean, oh, hey, you're going to go on a winning streak to end the season and end up in a respectable bowl game. But it's at least something that for at least a week, you know, takes away from all the noise that's been going on around this team for this entire month, frankly.
Is there a better chance in your mind for them to go 8-4 and win their last five games, go 5-7 and not make a bowl game, or get to that 6 wins and get to go to a bowl? Which one would you bet on?
If it were me, I think I would bet on the 5-7. And it's one of those situations where, yeah, I think they should win tomorrow, and they should probably beat Nebraska, although who knows what that's going to be like at season's end if neither team's playing for a bowl that day. But to me, the toss-up game is probably Minnesota, because Purdue, I think they're going to have their issues with them, mainly because that's the one team that Phil Parker struggled against, at least since Jeff Brohm has become Purdue's head coach. The Boilermakers have won 4 out of 5, and they've scored at least 24 points every time that they've won. Or at least 20 points, rather, in all 4 of those victories. And then Wisconsin, they haven't really figured out Jim Leonard in that 3-4. I mean, yeah, there was the 1 year they beat him when COVID happened, but a lot of that had to do with special teams as well, and Amir Smith-Marset having a big return in that game. This is one of those situations where if you're certain that those two games are going to be losses, that's 6 right there.
Yeah.
And then it basically would come down to when they come up here to Minneapolis, and, you know, can you continue your dominance of the Gophers, or is this going to be, because the game is here as opposed to in Iowa City, is it something where, hey, the Gophers with the home field, they finally get that monkey off their back, if you will, and they're the ones that deliver that 7th loss to you?
2 questions. 1, any chance Penn State can win this weekend?
No.
And does Michigan have a shot to beat Ohio State?
Ooh, well, let me add a little bit more onto that first one, besides just giving you a one word answer. In theory, yes, Penn State has a chance because they're at home. But after watching Ohio State last week, my feeling with that game is if the Buckeyes jump out to a lead early, I don't think Penn State could keep up with them. So, it's going to be something where if Penn State is going to win the game, they're going to have to be the ones that jump out to an early lead and basically hold on for dear life. As far as Michigan, yeah, I think Michigan could. I don't know if they will or not, but I think Michigan has a pretty decent shot against Ohio State just because of the fact that the things that they do well, which is being able to run the football and being able to play good defense, those are things that travel. And it's one of those things where they might not win at the Horseshoe, but I think that they're definitely going to put up a fight with them, especially after what you saw last year, because they were able to run all over Ohio State. And I would argue that they have a better offense now, or a better O-line now, and a better running back in place now than they did at this time a year ago.
I think that's going to be a great game. I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the Chicago Bears the other night, once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on
I'm
Twitter.
Actually excited to talk about them for once.
I did too. I turned to my wife and I said, the Chicago Bears and Justin Field, they're using Justin Field like the Baltimore Ravens use Lamar Jackson a little bit. But, I mean, enough to where it showed. I'm like, if they continue to do that, this Chicago team is good enough to win football games by doing that.
Right, and I would say he absolutely played the best game of his career Monday night.
Against Bill Belichick,
but I think,
of all people.
Right. And I think what also – it's funny you bring up Baltimore, because looking back on it now, the Ravens beat the Patriots earlier in the season. That makes me wonder if that was the tape that Chicago used, you know, in preparation for that game, because that would make a lot more sense to me now. To me – it's one of those things where even with that little momentum swing that they got with Bailey Zappe when he came in the game, that was just a domination from start to finish from Chicago. And that was the thing that I think made me the most satisfied at that victory. The big question now is going to be with consistency. Can they take what they did Monday night and carry that over into this weekend? Because they're going down to Jerry World, and that's going to be a tough one against the Cowboys, mainly because of the defense that Dallas plays. I think with Chicago's defense playing like it did, it gives me some hope, even against Dak, that they could at least keep it relatively close with the Cowboys. It's just a matter of now, can Fields make the same plays this Sunday that he did Monday night? Because if the answer to that question is yes, then I think they have a legit shot at pulling an upset. But if they revert back to being inconsistent, then it could be a long afternoon.
And that's one of those cool things for Dallas with Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is, I'm not sure. I'm probably going to, Micah Parsons might be a better athlete than Justin Fields. Doesn't make him a better quarterback, but it's not like Justin Fields is going to be able to run away from him like he did against some of those people that New England
He's not, but I think that if the Bears do design any quarterback runs, I would think that they would run away from him.
Exactly. A long way away from him would be the good thing. And I think just getting back to just for 1 second for Bill Belichick, I think Bill Belichick might have done more damage to his team by doing what he did to Mac Jones. If Mac Jones wasn't ready, then you shouldn't have played him. But you played him, and then you took him out. And I think – and then Zappe played horrible, and I think it kind of destroyed both of them, and that is definitely not a Bill Belichick way of doing things.
Right, and I'll tell you what, this week, and I never thought I would say this, but this weekend, I don't think it matters who their quarterback is. I think that either guy is going to struggle against that Jets defense.
Oh, I do too. That I mean, they don't have anybody that can block. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's too bad. But and here's the thing that you now know that it's not the same old Jets, right? If this was the Jets from 5 years ago and you had a great running back and he tore his ACL, you went, oh, our season's over. They didn't. The next day, they had a replacement.
They got James Robinson.
Yes, and a good replacement. Well,
I think part of that, too, is also just the way the NFL shifted, especially now with the trade deadline coming up. I think this – I don't know about you, but I've never recalled an instance where there's been talk of so many potential trades.
I know.
You know, leading up to a deadline in the NFL. It's not like you hear it all the time in baseball or in basketball or hockey, but those are all three of those sports also play significantly longer seasons. You don't really hear of anything like that in football. And just to add on to that real quick, that's the other thing with the Bears on Sunday is now that Robert Quinn's gone and they traded him to Philadelphia, which, by the way, I think that could potentially put them over the top of the NFC. Not having him anymore, I think that's going to obviously – that's a huge void now that the Bears are going to have to address defensively, especially if they're going to, you know, keep Dallas in check on Sunday.
It went too quick. We got about 20 seconds. Happy with the way Chicago Bulls are playing so far?
I mean, so far, yeah. There were a couple disappointing losses there, but the win in Miami last week was nice, and they handled their business at home these last couple games. They're at San Antonio tonight. That should be a winnable game. So, yeah, and DeRozan's been off. He's been shown consistency that's carried over from last season. So in that respect, yes, it's been really nice so far.
B, have a good weekend. Always appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
B Styles, the best. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. I have one segment left. It went by way too fast. I'll be back right after this break.
Sign up for Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Last segment of this week on this Friday. Hope everybody had a great week. Drive home safe. Get to enjoy the weekend. Beautiful weather this weekend. Beautiful weather next week. Get outdoors. You never know when it's going to change. Could be 10 below by the end of the week next week. So let's hope not, because we had two Iowa State football games in a row at home. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Want to thank sponsors of our show, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, Come and Go, and the fresh perspective that is going on. more to come. I got a new commercial coming out this weekend, so I have to cut a commercial this weekend. Also with BetMGM, Scott and I missed one over bet last night on the NBA. I didn't get to, he was busy today. He's going through his, final inventory count. So he's a busy guy, so I didn't bother him today, but we'll figure out which one that was and try to get better. Just to give you a rundown. So we had the Ravens Buccaneers last night. You have UNI Southern Illinois, 1 o'clock pregame tomorrow. We're going to join Ole Miss and Texas A&M in progress if need be after UNI, or you're going to get the 6 o'clock pregame. Sunday morning, you get that 8 a.m. Pregame for the Broncos-Jags in London. The Bears and the Cowboys are a noon kickoff. No pregame because you'll have that other game run into it. The Rams and the 49ers are going to be joined in progress the way they've staggered. Packers and Bills at 7 o'clock for a pregame, and then Monday night, Bengals-Browns. Not a bad game on there. So exciting stuff happening this weekend. Iowa plays Northwestern. Iowa State has Oklahoma. Good luck to them as well. I'm going to be at the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. Looking forward to a little tailgating in the morning. The last tailgate. I get why people like – I like being up there at night to get to watch a night football game. That's a long time for a 57-year-old guy to tailgate. I am too old to do that. I was tired, but it was awesome to get to see the things late at night and how the lights and everything. Now we just need a victory tomorrow. We're all in. We get it. We got basketball coming up. I mean, Maddie Nelson is thinking big things for the Iowa State women. I agree. And I think the Iowa State men are going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's going to be a lot like last year until maybe the middle of the season. And then I think the expectation is, I think they may be a little bit better. That's my expectation. It's going to be interesting. And the other thing they have to do, they have to stay healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing is they need to stay healthy. They're deep, but they're not deep everywhere. So staying healthy would be good. I did want to talk a little bit about high school football. Let me pull this up here. I did see something today. They had that. It was on social media today. It was on Twitter. Since 2010, that is 13 seasons since 2010, Dowling Catholic has won 8 high school 4A, now 5A championships. It's still a feat that's never going to happen again. Not at that high level in football. Kudos to Coach Tom Wilson. And the reason I say kudos to Coach Tom Wilson is because at no point in time throughout that run of eight, and they had times when they were the best team in the state. It wasn't always the best team in the state. It's exciting stuff. It was fun to be a part of that. Now you start all over again. Davenport West plays Dowling at Williams Stadium. Waukee Northwest goes to Cedar Rapids Kennedy. I think Northwest could give Kennedy a run tonight. Ames plays at Southeast Polk. I don't think they have enough. Might be able to keep it close early. Linmar Marion goes to Cedar Rapids Prairie. Sioux City East goes to Ankeny. Probably not a fun game for them. Iowa City High goes to Johnston. We have to once again give kudos where kudos is. Amy Voken Luter, her husband, is definitely the strength and conditioning coach and a football coach for Johnston. So good luck, Johnston Dragons. Valley plays Pleasant Valley. I think Valley can give Pleasant Valley, if they could open up a lead going into the fourth quarter, I think they could win that game. But if it's close or Pleasant, Valley's not going to come from behind and win that game. They're going to have to take that lead early. Ankeny Centennial, Cedar Falls, a lot of athletes, a lot of talk about two different views you're going to see in that game. I'm curious to see how that game is going to go. Bondurant Farrar, Indianola, just to do 4A. They're playing at Bondurant Farrar tonight. That is the only local team. Nope, Newton and Carlisle is as well in 3A, Nevada and Sioux Center. Mount Vernon, Solon, Hampton, Humboldt, Benton, Independence, Grinnell, ADM, Creston, North Polk. So a little bit in this general area. What do we, Clear Lake, Crestwood, Waukon, Wallet, West Marshall, Centerville, Monticello. Not a lot in 2A. It's going to be a good night. It's going to be a great night for football. You don't have to be wearing a winter coat. You don't need a stocking cap. You get to go out and you get to enjoy watching some high school football. And before you know it, you're going to be up in the dome and enjoying a lot of injuries in the NFL right now. The best teams in the league right now are teams that are healthy. When you really look at the standings in the NFL, Buffalo right now is pretty healthy. The Jets were healthy. I mean, those are the top two teams. Miami has not been healthy, and they're hanging in there. Baltimore's and Cincinnati are the two most healthy teams, and it shows. Tennessee healthy, but Ryan Tannehill now looks to be out this weekend. That South Division is not a good division. The Chiefs are healthy. The Chargers are struggling with health a little bit. The Philadelphia Eagles are healthy. The New York Giants are healthy. The Dallas Cowboys are getting healthy. Minnesota's healthy. And, you know, Green Bay has a game this weekend. And it is a game. It is a game against Buffalo that if they could win, I think that changes their season. With a loss, and I get that it's only a loss. It's not in your division, but that puts you at 3-5. That means you gotta have two games just to get you back to 500. And this is what you have. So you have the Buffalo game. You get Detroit at Detroit on Sunday, November 6th, next Sunday. It's my birthday. Kind of cool. You get Detroit, but it's at Detroit, and you're gonna have to play better because Detroit can score. Then you get Dallas in Green Bay. That's a 50-50 shot. Tennessee, depending on if they're healthy, I'll give you that one. So I'll give you two wins and I give you a loss. So at Philadelphia, I don't see that as a win. At Chicago, I think you're going to be good there. You get the Rams up in Green Bay. I think that's a win. You have to go to Miami. I think that's a loss. Minnesota has to come to Green Bay. That's a toss up. And then you have Detroit at home as well. You may get to a point where you're going to have to beat at Miami, at Chicago, and beat either Tennessee or Dallas, maybe to get into the playoffs. I mean, that's how bad that Washington and Jets losses were. That Jets loss was at home. At least the Commander loss was there, but that was a game that they should not have lost. And if they play the way they played in those two games, they're not beating Buffalo. They're struggling against Detroit. They're struggling against Dallas. They're struggling against Tennessee. They're not beating Philadelphia playing like that. And Aaron Rodgers better be looking out for his life in that game at Philadelphia. And you just need to see how Chicago has changed the way they played. Is it more like the game they just won, or is it moving on? And you have to remember that Green Bay, no Alan Lazard. I mean, they have some injuries out there too. It's no Lazard, no, help me with the name. Oh my goodness. Randall Cobb, no Randall Cobb either. So, if that, this is what, I mean, if it's a blowout in Buffalo, I don't know if it's going to be bad, but then if they come back and they don't play well against Detroit, I don't know what the press conferences or the Pat McAfee show. I mean, does the administration for the Green Bay Packers say, hey, Aaron, until we start winning football games, can you not go on national radio on the hottest show on national radio and berate your teammates? Maybe that would be a good thing to do to get camaraderie. Maybe not you yelling and screaming at your teammates, but maybe helping them. I don't know. It's just me. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ, AM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. thank you very much for coming in this week. We had a blast doing it. Scott and I, myself, we enjoy doing this. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Watch a lot of sports. See you then.